We have some points listed on the board. What do you think about that? Am I infected? What kind of infection do I have? How do these infections bind me? Contamination after death. The developments from each disease. Anyone like to forecast what these things might be about? Huh? Anything? You don't mind me calling you that, do you?
That's probably one of my diseases, I guess. Is.
Maybe. We'll find out.
That's not a disease. No.
We'll find out.
Material infection?
Oh, what do you mean by that?
Sort of desires, sense gratification. Yeah, sense gratification.
What do you mean by that?
Lust, desiring sort of the material goods, which aren't really beneficial to the development of the soul.
Oh, so you're saying it's possible to desire some material goods that are beneficial?
That's not saying there's not any infection, but it's desiring things which aren't beneficial to spiritual development.
Interesting. Andrew, any premonitions?
Premonitions.
Yes. Intuitions.
Intuitions.
Resonations.
Constipations.
Not really. Wait, find out.
Glenn?
Infection is something that attacks the body or the ego. Sort of diverts its course, taking on the meaning of the infected word.
Can you use an example?
Well, I'm just thinking in bodily terms, at the moment, like an infection of an antigen or something that attacks you, and your body sort of builds antibodies to fight it. But during that process, you're affected by it, and you're not in your prime until you can deal with that infection, until you're immune to it.
Now, you mentioned something interesting, the infection of the ego. Can you explain that?
Well, I'm just thinking on all levels. I mean, that's just on a physical level. So, like, something could happen to you emotionally or mentally that could have the same effect.
All right, what's for example?
Like, anger? If for some reason you got angry and it affected your work, you're compromised by that anger. So an infection that would stall you, would slow you down until you deal with going about your work.
But you mentioned the ego becoming infected. So the ego becomes infected by anger?
I don't know whether anger is actually an outside thing or an inside thing, so it'd be hard to say.
Hmm. Well, could you tell us, now this is an interesting point you said about the ego. Now, can you tell us what a healthy, uninfected ego is like?
Unaffected.
Uninfected.
Unaffected.
Oh, unaffected by?
By infinite detrimental to its own state of health.
Well, can you describe that state of health for the ego?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. This is what we're discussing. We're just going over this, and everyone's giving their premonitions and intuitions about what this might be. So, go on. What's a healthy ego? We got to understand that first before we understand how it becomes infected, right?
Yeah. Healthy ego.
Sit by the door, though.
Well, healthy ego.
Yeah.
Okay, physically, they'll be capable of performing their work, having no physical discomforts. Emotionally, be able to experience their emotions but not get affected by them, and mentally have clarity and logical sequence, rationality.
In other words, to kind of be real self-sufficient and expert in getting what you want. Is that it?
No, I wasn't particularly thinking ego at all. I was just thinking a healthy human being, whether it's ego full or egoless.
Yeah, no. This is what we're discussing, as you can see on the board there. We haven't gotten into it yet, we're just discussing our intuitions and premonitions about what it might concern. You've been here before?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can we get around in a circle?
No, yeah, okay, yeah, we might as well. Yeah. He was mentioning the infection of the ego. I was just trying to get his point about what is a healthy ego, but we're having a little bit of difficulty here.
I was going to say, is any ego healthy?
You tell me.
I would say from that. Any ego is an unhealthy ego.
So how do you have a so what's a healthy condition? No ego?
Ego less.
And how do you act like that?
That's a good question.
Good answer. Honestly, we get you everywhere. Any intuitions about what this might be concerning?
Ego?
Are your name, I'm sorry?
Anthony.
And yours is?
Elliot.
Okay. You have any premonitions, Ellie, about what all this might be about on the board there? Not the slightest, huh?
No.
Contagious
could
disease.
Could be on a very physical level, be it contagious disease, or it could be on a metaphysical kind of ego level.
Oh.
I don't know.
Interesting. Could you elaborate on that last point, please?
With that impurity or something like that.
Impurity of
the soul, I don't know.
Can you describe that a bit? What's it like? What does it look
maybe,
like?
Maybe you say materialism could be you're into materialism, you picture the materialism and
interesting.
Be same as an infection because it kind of grows more.
Can you describe that materially?
Can I describe materialism? What do I? Materialism as an. Materialism as an infection. Materialism could be seen as an infection, really. I mean, you can catch it from people if you hang around people who are very materialistic and talk about it. You start to think, oh, maybe I'm not what they've got. And then the next thing you know, you're going walking around going, oh yes, well I've got that model phone and.
Well, sounds interesting. Sounds good. But just to help us a bit, can you describe what materialism is? And, you know, in 100 words or less.
It would be identifying yourself as personal possessions you own. And
identifying yourself with the possessions that you own.
Yeah. And
identifying with what's already yours.
Yeah, or just sort of like judging your own personal worthiness on the material possessions you have, like, oh, am I worthy if I have a car and a house? Oh, yeah, okay, I've done really well for myself. That's just on a material level.
So anybody who does that is a materialist. If you don't do that, then what are you?
There's different levels of materialism. Like, I'm not saying materialism is bad, or I'm not saying it's bad or good or anything. But
what's good materialism?
I think just in a kind of, well, to me personally, grew your own veggies and just survived over what you grew and didn't waste stuff and thousands of kilos of plastic and rubbish and buy stuff you don't need, just use things you need and then those things you don't need, you give to other people who need them.
I see.
But then it still needs a certain level of materialism to survive day to day kind of needs, but yeah.
That's good materialism.
It's necessary. I'm not saying it's good or bad. It's necessary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. And what's the opposite of materialism? Yeah, I like your style here. What's the opposite of materialism?
Minimalist. I don't know if I possibly have total non-materialism. I think
A secret would be the opposite, wouldn't it?
You tell me. Spiritual. Who said that? What's that? Now, we're having a little bit of difficulty with materialism. Maybe we'll have better luck.
Two different worlds. There's the material world and the spiritual world.
Really?
And they both exist at the same time with each other. You can't help. I suppose you could have one without the other.
So no matter what we do, we're being material and spiritual simultaneously, huh?
It's like talking about the body and mind and debate.
Debate?
Not so much debate. It's ongoing discussion.
You lost me completely.
Yeah, I'm so miserable.
Interesting. And we have these discussions from time to time where we really try to understand what is a materialist, and it kind of, you know, it sounds good at first. Materialism. Don't be a materialist. But then when we talk about it, you know, we notice that it's hard for us to really tie the term down. And then when we jump to the opposite, if it is indeed an opposite, spiritualism and spiritualism, then we really get lost.
They're both two sides of the same coin.
And what's the nature of that coin?
Unity.
And what's unified?
Um.
What's unified?
Yeah, unity means that something should be unified. It's like Andrew and Glenn, they're friends. That's a unity of some sort.
A lot of things. Body and mind. Powerful waves.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, let's get down to business here. Turn to chapter 14. Am I infected? We'll turn to the fifth text of chapter 14. Now, we're going to find out something about nature. And nature has certain influences. I might have mentioned this to you before, if you've been here before. Page 685, it's got the Sanskrit down at the bottom. Still a little bit warm in here, is it? I know. Everyone's all right? Okay. Bottom of page 685, I'll just read the Sanskrit. Unless some of our guests here are already proficient. Yes? Okay. Sattam rajastama iti guna prakati sambhava nebhananti mahabhaho dehe dehi namavyayam. Puff, would you like to read the translation in purport?
Material nature consists of three modes. Goodness, passion, and ignorance. When the eternal living entity comes in contact with nature, a mighty armed Arjuna, he becomes conditioned by these modes. This is important. The living entity, because he is transcendental, has nothing to do with this material nature. Still, because he has become conditioned by the material will, he is acting under the spell of the three modes of material nature. Because living entities have different kinds of bodies, in terms of the different aspects of nature, they are induced to act according to that nature. This is the cause of varieties of happiness and distress.
Interesting. So Bhagavad Gita is teaching you something about nature that you won't find anywhere else. This is very important knowledge. In fact, let's turn to text 1 on page 681, and there Krishna describes the super excellence of this knowledge we're about to study about infections by nature. Page 681. Andrew, you would like to read the translation?
The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "Again, I shall declare to you the supreme wisdom, the best of all knowledge, knowing which all the sages have attained the supreme perfection."
Sounds interesting. The best of all knowledge, knowing which all the sages have attained the supreme perfection. Now we'll go to the next text briefly, and we'll find out something that this knowledge does. Generally, you study knowledge to get some result. Andrew is studying massage because he wants to give massages. Someone else? Anyone else studying here? What are you studying, Glenn?
Homeopathy.
Homeopathy, because you want to cure people's infections. So, we're also going to be discussing infections tonight, but we're going to go from infection to perfection. And we're getting a hint of what that perfection is once you become free from infection in text 2. So you want to read text 2?
It's a translation. By becoming fixed in this knowledge, one can attain to the transcendental nature like my own. Thus established, one is not born at the time of creation and disturbed at the time of dissolution.
Now, I know what a lot of you are thinking. One is not born at the time of creation or disturbed at the time of dissolution. No big deal. I mean, it's so distant from me. I've got things on my mind right now. I've got desires I want to fulfill. I've got meaning I'm trying to find in my life. What is this? Not being born at the time of creation or disturbed at the time of dissolution? I mean, it sounds really cosmic, but I mean, it's kind of far off and distant. But actually, if we're wise, if we're actually sages, then we are concerned. I don't want to be born at the time of the creation of the universe, nor do I want to be disturbed by the inevitable cosmic destruction. That's what an intelligent person thinks. The problem is we don't have much intelligence these days. Therefore, people aren't concerned about this cosmic stuff of cosmic creation and annihilation. Why? Because they're not even disturbed about their own birth and death in this lifetime. Oh, so I was born, so I'll die. Not a big deal, you know. These things happen. In the meantime, I'm busy. I got lots of things to do, lots of studying to do, lots of working to do, lots of partying to do, lots of traveling to do. This is how low our standard is compared to Bhagavad Gita. Someone who's actually wise is concerned, not only with this life and its birth and death, not only with so many lives of births and deaths, but your whole existence in this universe. I don't want to be around to be born at the time of the universal creation, and I don't want to be around at the time of universal annihilation. I mean, that's thinking on a real broad scale there. But that's the kind of intelligence human beings are meant to have. Yes, you don't find it these days. They don't give you that intelligence in school. So people can't even grasp the problem of taking birth and dying in this mere spot of a life. Even that's beyond them. Oh, birth, death, hey, you know, I don't know why I was born. I don't know what will happen after death, but, you know, just don't make me think too much, you know. Anyway, my senses are wanting things. That's an important thing. So you see how out of it we are. There's no question of us relating to the whole cosmic play out of events, creation and annihilation, when we can't even deal with the insignificant speck of existence we have in this lifetime, and it's birth and death. Everybody likes to have their birthday celebrated here, right? Yes. But no one questions why you were born. What am I doing here? Why is there birth? Of course, no one likes death. Generally, you try to blot deaths of any people you know out of your mind very quickly. No one likes thinking about it. You all are sure you have a big future ahead of you, right? So many things. You're going to do so many things, right? Travel, see the world, meet people, things to do, places to go, right? It's all going to happen just like that. Second the movies, right? Right? I mean, you're not going to get everything you want. We all know that, right? And all of you here are sure you're not going to get everything you want. But mostly, right? Good. Or else you're going to do your damn best to come close, right? Well, what is life meant for? That's what most of us think. I don't know why I'm here. Don't know where I'm going after death. Don't want to think about that too much, but I got some plans, I got things to do, places to go, people to meet, and so I'm just going to do my best to get as much as I can, even though I don't know what the hell is going on in existence. That's the way society trains us. Why does society train us in that way? Because if you simply want to make money off of people, it's very good to have them simply thinking, I need to work, and then I can buy, and then I can consume, and then what? I die. So while you're simply working, buying, and consuming before you die, someone's making money off of you. And they like it that you're simply focused on purchasing power for your senses. Now what happens if everybody starts thinking about these cosmic issues? While you're here listening, You're not in the boutique shopping. You see? You're not in the movies. Spending money on all the latest Hollywood productions. So if you're economically controlling society, this is not good. You've got to train the people so that they simply forget these cosmic issues, philosophy, and they just concentrate on their own individual working and consumption. That is the problem. I know it's a bit hard to consider this verse. By becoming fixed in this knowledge, one can attain to the transcendental nature like my own. Thus establish one is not born at the time of creation or disturbed at the time of dissolution. Okay. Now we're going to go to the subject matter of infection. You see, we're trying to give you, when you come here, some inkling of what nature is actually doing. It's not that nature just gives you air to breathe and water to drink. Different winds are blowing. I've given this example before. Here in New Zealand, you're very wind conscious. When I first came, I couldn't figure it out, you know. I discussed this when you were here before, the winds. I mean, I remember when I first came here three or four years ago, I, you know, turn on the weather report, you know, and you talk about southeasterlies, northwesterlies, southerlies. I said, look, I just want the weather report, you know. What's all this, you know, wind direction? Because in the States, you never get a weather report like that, you know. If the winds, people don't notice them. It's not that important. If, you know, in New York, if you want to find out the weather, it says, tomorrow it'll rain, the temperature will be 7 degrees, finished. But you never get that here. Okay, I'm going to get the weather. You call up the telephone company, this Metro something, whatever it is. Southeasterlies tomorrow. The world, does that mean? Well, you guys all know it. Because you've been, all you have to do is say southeasterly, and you know. That means what? Cold?
Direction the wind's coming from.
Yeah. If it's certain direction, it's coming off the Arctic, right? If it's another direction, it's coming down from the Tasman, right? Some winds bring hot air, other winds bring cold air. So you guys got all that figured out. You're aware of these influences. But yeah, most people aren't. In Europe, they don't think like that. In the States, the winds are not so prevalent. Because this is a maritime country, a maritime climate, surrounded by ocean. Go 100 kilometers each way, you'll be at the ocean. So people are conscious of how the winds are blowing. So that's an example of how you're perceiving nature in a way that most people don't. Even you go to Sydney, they don't talk like this. Southwesterlies, southerlies, is a northerly coming? No one talks like that. But you're aware of what nature's doing in terms of winds. So much so that someone just says, southerly coming, and immediately everyone knows what to do. But nature has other influences besides winds coming from different directions. And these are things we need to know about. And Krishna has said in the beginning of the chapter that this is superlative knowledge. Knowing this knowledge, you're going to be able to get the qualification not to be born at the time of creation, nor disturbed in the time of cosmic annihilation. So what actually are these prevailing winds in a subtle sense? Actually, they're not that subtle. They do have an effect on everything. Whether it's your gross physical body or your subtle astral body, these winds, or better put, these modes of material nature, they affect everything in the material cosmos. Now you may say, that sounds interesting, but when you hear about these different modes or winds, which are actually like infections, then you'll strike home. Okay. Who would like to read text 5? Did someone read text 5? Oh, read it again anyway. Anyone? Mm-hmm.
Material nature consists of three modes: goodness, passion, and ignorance. when the eternal living entity comes in contact with nature, by mighty armed Arjuna, he becomes conditioned by these nerves.
Okay, and the first one again?
The living entity, because he is transcendental, has nothing to do with this material nature.
That means you are pure spirit soul. You have nothing to do with matter. But because you're within this material world, and you're misidentifying with your body and mind, you become subject to these modes of nature. Because you're misidentifying with the body and mind. When you dream, everyone's had the experience of dreaming at night. A tiger has attacked you, or a beautiful movie star is embracing you. You think it's real. You identify with it. But when you wake up in the morning, you know, oh, it was only a dream. So, the pure spirit soul has nothing to do with the body and mind, but it dreams it does. And there are different types of dreams. That means different types of infection according to how you're in contact with material nature. Now remember once again, material nature is not simply giving you water and rain and wind and sun. It's also giving you infections. And these infections that nature gives you are most important for understanding your next birth. And also what influences you're bringing into this life from your previous birth. Okay. Next point on the board, what kind of infection do I have? Can we have a little light, please? Charlie, turn the light up. I'm just a little... Okay. What kind of infection do I have? Now, if I asked you that question, what would you think? What kind of infection do you have?
Like, from what you've been talking about, or just out of the blue?
All right, out of the blue. Give it a try.
All right. I don't know, throat infection.
Emerson. No infections, right? Perfect health, right? Mm-hmm. Clear vision, clear understanding. Okay.
How much you plus one second?
Out of the way. Okay.
Yeah.
And?
No, not in a while.
Maybe sort of an addictive sort of nature. So if I have something, I want to have more of it. I mean, I was just thinking of like sugary things.
So you consider that that's an infection?
In a way, yeah.
Sorry, what's your name again?
Ben.
Ben, yeah.
Not thinking in a correct manner?
Not thinking in the correct manner.
Not thinking clearly, I guess.
Just out of curiosity, as a side question, how do you tell what's correct?
Well, the absolute truth.
And how do you find out what the absolute truth is?
You search for it.
And how do you know what to look for? These are side questions, by the way.
Well, I mean, I've put the thought there, and personally for me, that question was answered when I met a devotee on the street in Wellington, and he showed me the way to a higher consciousness.
Suppose I was walking down K Road. You've been on K Road? And I decided, I'm looking for gold on K Road. I don't know what gold is. What would probably happen to me if I just walked up to every person on K Road and said, I want to buy gold. I don't know what it is, but I'm searching. Yeah, all sorts of guys are going to run up to me with yellow pieces of, paper or rocks painted yellow or something. So, basically what you're saying, your case is special. You met someone Krishna conscious on the street, and they gave you some books which educate you what to look for.
But previously to that, I didn't.
So, basically, from the Krishna conscious understanding, from Krishna's understanding, you, due to some past good deeds you've done, unknowingly, had the good fortune to search and not get cheated. But not everybody has that good fortune. So, it is dangerous to look for something if you don't know what you're looking for. If you look for gold and you don't know what gold is, you might get lucky. The first person you approach on K Road might actually be a guy who owns a legitimate jewelry shop. But if you're not lucky, you'll easily get cheated. So you were lucky. But most people, they're not that fortunate. But it is interesting that many of you are describing infections in non-physical
terms. It's interesting. Infection?
Yeah, well, I was going to say food as well. Because I think, you know, all these different parts of the world, all these different ways of thinking, you know, body terms.
Politics, all that?
Well, all the parts of the world, how are we different?
Past?
In the past year.
Path.
Oh, like through the forest.
Parts.
Parts.
Parts. Different parts of the world.
Parts of the world.
Okay.
How do I say it? Parts.
Parts.
Parts. Parts. Okay.
It's just
much bigger
stuff.
Infection?
Well, strange actions, maybe?
Strange actions.
Doings? Actions?
What would be healthy actions, then? Non-strange actions.
Not going to work in an office? Worrying about materialism? Material gains?
That's unhealthy?
What? Worrying about it, yeah.
So what is healthy, though? Healthy is when you work somewhere else other than an office.
Probably.
And when you don't worry about material gain, you just, what? Skip the dole.
No, not necessarily, but,
you marry someone who worries about material gains, you know.
Yeah.
You win the lottery. Is that what you call it here, the lottery?
Lotto.
Lotto. You win the lotto.
There's nothing so worried about the outcome or the...
You kind of just do things without worrying about the outcome.
No, maybe not. Without the seeking.
Without the seeking. You never seek. You just kind of what? Stay in one spot and whatever comes to you, you take. Alright. Okay. We're going to go into infections now. And I want you to bear in mind, what kind of infection might I have? The infections are two types. Three types. Goodness, passion, and ignorance. Goodness, that is the lesser of the three types of infection. It's like having a head cold instead of having terminal cancer or pneumonia. The mode of ignorance is like terminal cancer. The mode of passion is like pneumonia. The mode of goodness is like a head cold. It's the least infection you can get in this world. So we're going to see where we fit here. Are we of goodness, passion, or ignorance? How many think they're in goodness? Raise your hand. How many think your infection is characterized by passion? Raise your hand. How many ignorance? Raise your hand. You didn't raise your hand.
Okay. It can be a combination of three.
But which is predominant?
Predominant.
Anyway, we'll find out. Okay, what is the mode of goodness? You can read it in text 6, but I'm going to have to explain it, because the mode of goodness is so rare in this world, most people don't understand it. Text 6. Oh, sinless one. This is Krishna talking to Arjuna. The mode of goodness, being purer than the others, is illuminating, and it frees one from all sinful reactions. Those situated in that mode become conditioned by a sense of happiness and knowledge. So what is this referring to? Let's see if it applies. You can look at it. Does this apply to me? Let's see, free from all sinful reactions? Well, I don't even know what sin is. Let's speak of reactions. Anyway, I feel like I'm a good person. Become conditioned by a sense of happiness and knowledge. Well, what's wrong with having happiness and knowledge? Hey, you know, if I'm conditioned by a sense of happiness and knowledge, let it be. Mode of goodness is hard to understand. It's not just like, no, I'm a good person. I feel good about myself. My friends tell me I'm a good person. My mother tells me I'm a good person. When I went to church a few times when I was young, my minister told me I'm a good person. No. The mode of goodness, the material mode of goodness, the least infection you can get in this world, means you have knowledge of how to use your senses in such a way you don't accumulate karma for yourself. You know exactly what you should be doing with each sense of your body, so that your life becomes characterized by illumination, knowledge. You know how to eat properly. You're a vegetarian. You know how to sleep just the right amount, not too much. Generally, people just need 6 or 7 hours of sleep a day. The illusion is that the more you sleep, the more rested you become. That's not true. Someone in the mode of goodness has knowledge about everything they do. They know how to live in this world without becoming severely contaminated. They know that there's a proper way to do everything. It's not that, well, whatever you think, whatever I think. As long as you have a good feeling in your heart, as long as you want to do good, then it's all right. No, someone in the mode of goodness, characterized by that infection, they know that just like if I make a wrong turn in the city, the police will flag me down. Similarly, if I make a wrong turn in material nature, I'll get a reaction. Someone in the mode of goodness knows that. They never think wishy-washy. Doesn't matter what you do, just, you know, try to do good. However you think the good is, that's not mode of goodness. A mode of goodness person is on top of their every action. They know precisely how to act to increase their understanding of why they're in this world. And all their senses are controlled. Everything is precise. How they eat, how they sleep. Their reproductive affairs, very precise. Everything. Every time they use one of their bodily organs or senses, their precision, how to use these things in a way that brings about illumination. They don't eat meat, fish or eggs. They don't engage in sex life except for reproduction with their spouse. No, and no question of intoxication. Drugs or alcohol. They don't even take things like garlic or onions, because those kind of pungent, spicy things, they destroy the mode of goodness. They bring about passion. We'll find out about that later. They live simply, as you were saying, simple lifestyle, plain living, high thinking. They never engage in agitating their desires for unnecessary things. But it's not that you just simply live out in the country, in the Waitekeries, grow your own veggies, you know, and look at the green trees and you're in the mode of goodness. No. Generally, you'll find that people, whether they live in the city or live out in the country, they cannot control their lusts. They cannot control their greeds. They don't know how to eat properly, sleep properly, mate properly. So basically, you just have a version of organic materialism, I call it, as opposed to regular materialism. You understand? Yeah. That's all it is, organic materialism. And what does a person owed to goodness become conditioned by? Well, you might be able to understand a little bit by thinking of someone you know who's into the arts or poetry. It's real state, the mode of goodness gives. You just want to live a very simple life and just contemplate the issues of life and the, just like contemplating nature. Now, so many people can do that, but their lifestyle is not of goodness. The mode of goodness means you get your pleasure by this kind of contemplation, but you also have the lifestyle that is conducive to contemplation. You're starting to get a little bit of an idea what this mode of goodness is? Yes? It's fact and you don't see it. You know anybody who's like that?
Not very well. I find it stuff. I imagine you got the credit card.
Actually, I'll tell you a secret. When you're reading Bhagavad Gita now, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you get deeper into Bhagavad Gita, you'll find out that a Krishna conscious person is actually beyond the mode of goodness. But anyway, the mode of goodness is the highest stratum. It's the highest level in the material world. It's the least infection you can get. It's like having a head cold. But Krishna consciousness has nothing to do with any disease, whether it's terminal cancer or a head cold, in the figurative sense. The mode of goodness, although it's the highest level of existence in this world, is still an infection. It's got nothing to do with the soul. It's just the least sick condition of all three. Okay, now let's go to passion. We're getting on more familiar ground now. Let's turn to text 7. I'll read the Sanskrit on the bottom of page 687. Rajo ragatmakam vidhi Krishna sangasamudbhavam sanyavadhatikonteya karma sangena jehinam. Who would like to read this? Ben, loud and clear.
The mode of passion is born of unlimited desires and longings, O son of Kunti. And because of this, the embodied living entity is bound to material fruitive actions. The mode of passion is characterized by the attraction between man and woman. Woman has attraction for man, and man has attraction for woman. This is called the mode of passion. And when the mode of passion is increased, one develops the hankering for material enjoyment. He wants to enjoy sense gratification. For sense gratification, a man in the mode of passion wants some honour in society or in the nation. And he wants to have a happy family with nice children, wife and a house. These are the products of the mode of passion. As long as one is hankering after these things, he has to work very hard. Therefore, it is clearly stated here that he becomes associated with the fruits of his activities and thus becomes bound by such activities. In order to please his wife, children and society, and to keep up his prestige, one has to work. Therefore, the whole material world is more or less in the mode of passion. Modern civilization is considered to be advanced in the standard of the mode of passion. Formerly, the advanced condition was considered to be in the mode of goodness. If there is no liberation for those in the mode of goodness, what to speak of those who are entangled in the mode of passion?
All right. Starting to be more familiar, right? Any questions about this infection, the mode of passion? So, are we starting to see ourselves? Which is predominant? Looks like a lot of people are in passion, huh?
Sure.
Now can you see that even people who you think are kind of organic materialists are living very simply, they actually still have a lot of passion in them? Can you see that? Huh? No. Yeah? They're hankering, they want sensuality, they want sensual pleasure. That's passion. Mode of business is not like that. Someone in the mode of business understands, I'm not the body. At least theoretically they understand that. They may not have direct experience, but at least they accept the theory. Therefore, someone in the mode of goodness never strives for bodily pleasure. Now we get to the mode of ignorance. This is the most deadly disease, the deadliest infection. Pup, would you like to read this one?
Son of
Bharata.
Bharata. Know that the modes of darkness, born ignorance, is the delusion of all embodied living entities. The results of this mode are madness,
indolence,
and sleep, which bind the conditioned soul. In this verse, the specific application of the word to is very significant. This means that the mode of ignorance is a very peculiar qualification of the embodied soul. The mode of ignorance is just the opposite of the mode of goodness. In the mode of goodness, by development of knowledge, one can understand what is what, but the mode of ignorance is just the opposite.
Yes. The mode of goodness, by developing knowledge, you can understand what is what. Now, even people who we think live very simply and are poetic and creative and alternative healers like that, they don't understand what is what. They all generally think if you just kind of have a good intention, that's all that's necessary. Have a good intention in your heart. Be open to surprises. Be receptive. And that's all. Nature will smile upon you. That's not the mode of goodness. The mode of goodness means you know. For every action is a reaction. You know all about action and reaction. You know how to act with precision so you don't increase your infection. Go on.
Everyone under the spell of the mode of ignorance becomes mad, and a madman cannot understand what is what. Instead of making advancement, one becomes degraded. The definition of the mode of ignorance is stated in the Vedic literature.
Vastu yatatnya jnana vakravarakam dhataya jnana janakam tama.
Under the spell of ignorance, one cannot understand a thing as it is.
Yes, repeat that, please. Under?
Under the spell of ignorance, one cannot understand a thing as it is. For example, everyone can see that his grandfather has died, and therefore he will also die. Man is mortal. The children that he conceives will also die, so death is sure. Still keep on madly accumulating money and working very hard all day and night, not caring for the eternal spirit. This is madness.
This is madness.
In their madness, they are very reluctant to make advancement in spiritual understanding. Such people are very lazy. When they are invited to associate with spiritual understanding, they are not much interested. They are not even active like the man who is controlled by the mode of passion. Thus, another symptom of one embedded in the mode of ignorance is that he sleeps more than is required. 6 hours of sleep is sufficient, but a man in the mode of ignorance sleeps at least 10 or 12 hours a day. Such a man appears to be always dejected and is addicted to intoxicants and sleeping. These are the symptoms of a person conditioned by the mode of ignorance.
Sounds familiar, huh? So basically you can see that society today is characterized by the infections of passion and ignorance. So much so that the mode of goodness seems to be transcendental. The mode of goodness seems to be like, you know, heaven, a saint. But actually that's not so. So hopefully now we're getting a glimpse at how degraded things are in spite of the great technological advancement, which will cause no problems, as you all know. Any questions so far?
So most of the world is sort of in this mode of ignorance.
Ignorance and passion, yes. Both, yeah. Any other points about this? Then? Andrew. So these infections, they're in the atmosphere. We're contacting them by our interaction with nature. It's not that you just walk through nature and you breathe, or you drink the water, or you feel the wind blowing on you, and the rain falling on you, and the sun shining on you. No. Like Sue, she's coming from Queensland in Australia. So she's getting her first taste of Auckland weather. You know, in Queensland, either it's hot or it's raining. You know, it's not like four things in one day. So she's getting a different experience of nature. You know, the Auckland weather, you know, one minute it's the sun shining, next minute it's raining with the sun out, and, you know, on and on and on, it goes back and forth. So most people, when they think of nature, they think that's what nature means, these things, rain, sun, fog. No. Nature also means mode of goodness, passion, and ignorance. And these things are affecting you. As you walk through your life, as you walk through existence, these things, you're contacting these germs from nature. And you have to. Just like when you walk through water, you have to get wet. Similarly, when you walk through nature unprotected, you must become infected by these modes. Now she mentioned Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is the art of how to, even while you're living in the material world and walking through water, you have a wetsuit on. Even though you know you don't belong in this world, still you don't get affected. All right. How do these infections bind me? Point number three. Now, who here thinks they're bound up condition? Does anyone here think they're bound up condition? What binding?
You know, many, many things that I've over 24 years in this life of, you know, no matter what, conditioned by television, by you know, thankfully I've given up eating meat and everything and trying to eat as much vashadam as I can. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm an asthmatic, I have to use my Ventolin. Mm-hmm. The way I behave, I mean, I'm bound by these things. It keeps a grip on me from setting myself free.
Anyone else feel like you're bound? Condition. Can you describe it?
I'm bound by my appetite. Just that. Bound by my lust for the next one. And bound by drugs and material.
Andrew?
Well, I'm truly bound.
Well, maybe you think you're not bound. Maybe you think, you know, it's just all in the mind.
Yeah, I'm sort of not as bound as I was, and everything. I'm self free, so to speak.
What is the self that's free?
Yeah.
It's really fun to do this, you know. You'll learn how to do it, too. You'll have a lot of fun like this. No, it's actually fun for you, too.
Yeah.
Believe me. You can do this, too, you know.
Yeah.
But if you did a couple of times, you'd be able to do this easily. Just like learning how to ride a bicycle. In the beginning, it looks impossible, but with practice.
That's for what self is about.
Well, you see, as we just read, part of being in the mode of passion ignorance is you don't have even basic spiritual knowledge that someone in the mode of goodness will have. So you don't know. When you say, yeah, well, the self, my self feels more free these days, and then someone asks you, what is the self? Well, so that's the symptom of mode of passion ignorance. Yeah. What's your name?
Stephen.
Okay. Do you feel bound and conditioned, or is this just a bunch of, you know, phantasmagoric stuff?
Yeah, okay. And, yeah, pretty much constantly wonder about it. Wonder about being bound and conditioned, and whether it is all in the mind or not.
Yeah, if you feel bound in condition by the past,
well, here's a test we all can make to find out a major way we are bound in condition. When you wake up in the morning and you get out of bed, you look in the mirror. And if you see a body of matter, that means you're bound and conditioned. Someone in the mode of goodness will think, what am I, pure spirit soul, non-material entity, doing in this body of matter? That's the way someone in the mode of goodness thinks. But what does someone in the mode of passion think?
Go on, look and get breakfast.
Look in the mirror. That's me, the body. Where's breakfast? Bring that bacon. I am the body.
Oh, come on.
I'll put this suit on, tie. The girls in the office will really be checking me out now. Aren't I gorgeous? I've been to the gym and I'm me, the body. So that's the mode of passion, looking in the mirror. And the mode of ignorance. How does someone in the mode of ignorance look in the mirror? I'm totally bombed. I'm out of it. I don't know whether I am or am not. It doesn't matter anyway. 8 o'clock in the morning, not too early for another drink and let's hope. I was wiped out. I crashed for 12 straight hours. Wasn't too much. I might as well go back to bed. Mode of passion. Excuse me, mode of ignorance. You can't even think about even materialistic goals. You're just out of it, you know, in a haze. I don't know and I don't care. That's a mode of ignorance. So, let's read on. How do these infections bind me? Well, turn to a text. 9, page 690. Sattvam Suke Sanjayati Raja Karmani Bharata Gyanam Avrichituttama Pramade Sanjayatyuta.
Sure. As son of Bharata, the mode of goodness conditions one to happiness, passion conditions one to fruited action, and ignorance, covering one's knowledge, binds one to madness. A person in the mode of goodness is satisfied by his work or intellectual pursuits, just as a philosopher, scientist, or educator may be engaged in a particular field of knowledge and may be satisfied in that way. A man in the mode of passion may be engaged in fruitive activity. He aims as much as he can and spends for good causes. Sometimes he tries to open hospitals, future charity institutions, etc. These are signs of one in the mode of passion. In the mode of ignorance covers knowledge. In the mode of ignorance, whatever one does is good, neither for him nor for anyone.
Any comments?
Yeah, I can definitely relate to that last sentence. Like, in the mode of ignorance, whatever one does is good neither for him nor for anyone. Because, like, a lot of the time, I'll seem to be pressured to going out, like, to a party, drinking, smoking, but it's not good for them, and I know it's not good for me. But, just do it anyway. Really relate to that.
How about this description of how the mode of passion binds in the purport? He owns as much as he can and spends for good causes. Now, most people would think, yeah, that's good. Yeah. Own as much as you can and spend for good causes. This is a mode of passion. Mode of passion means this endeavor, for energetic endeavor for material gain.
What does he spend for good causes in?
Good real estate, not crummy real estate. Buy a good car. Check out the reviews. And even in what you might think is a more elevated sense, oh, I got a lot of money, I'll open a few hospitals. You can't do that. You know, people generally don't do that in the West anymore. But in India, third world countries, people try, if they have a lot of money, sometimes they do a little philanthropy, open up a hospital in their name. Get to a charity institution.
To be respected for
right.
Society.
I'm a good person. I've given Red Cross. Actually, later. Excuse me? Huh?
What about giving to charities but not taking any credit for it, just giving, you know?
No. That no. Can be, you'll find this out later in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 17, how everything in the material existence that you do is of three characteristics, goodness, passion, ignorance, even giving in charity. If you give in charity without expecting any return, that is charity in the mode of goodness, if the recipient of the charity is using it for proper purposes. Here's the thing. If, for example, you give charity to, like, say, a beggar on the street and he takes the money and buys alcohol, you get part of the karmic reaction.
Well, if I give him $26 and he goes and buys a bag of
that's something else entirely.
in a nutshell, it's $26 can buy something.
That had nothing to do with the modes of nature. That is transcendental.
It's still charity, though, isn't it?
But the result is totally different.
You can kind of give charity on a spiritual plane.
Yes. That has nothing to do with the modes of nature.
Is that not called charity, then?
I mean, you can call it charity, but it's not charity of the material world. Any other points?
You're giving us charity now, aren't you? In that sense, what he's doing.
Krishna has given the knowledge. This knowledge comes down from the chain of bona fide representatives of Krishna. So I'm just giving what has been given to me. I've received charity, and I'm giving charity. Similarly, some of you will receive this charity, and you'll give charity. Just like I'm doing, you can all do. No one had any questions about how the mode of goodness conditions one to happiness. No questions about that, huh? Hard to see and visualize these days because you don't see any mode of goodness. But let's just, you can imagine. Someone who just likes to live out in the country and, they're vegetarian and they live very simply and, they know the art of living in this world without having their desires inflamed. They understand they're not the body. They know how to live a very purified life. That kind of lifestyle has a sense of happiness to it. But it's not innocuous or innocent happiness. That kind of happiness binds you. You become conditioned to real peaceful contentment. A contentment unlike the person in a mode of passion or ignorance can ever experience. Hard to understand because practically you won't find anybody in a mode of goodness these days. Okay. Contamination after death, is that the next subject? Exciting subject. Let's turn to text 14, page 694. This is the result of dying in the different modes of nature. Is anyone here not going to die? Are you not going to die?
I'm dying.
Okay.
Yeah.
Depends what you mean by death. Sorry, no one can. This is a little sidetrack.
Is that your friend?
No, I'm not.
Okay. A lot of this you're going to have a little bit of difficulty in understanding. It'll really expand your conceptions of what goes on in the universe. But anyway, we'll give it a go. Who's going to read text 14? Andrew?
When one dies in the mode of goodness, he attains to the pure higher planets of the great sages. One in goodness attains higher planetary systems like Brahma Loka or Jnana Loka, and there enjoys godly happiness. The word Amalan is significant. It means free from the modes of passion and ignorance. There are impurities in the material world, but the mode of goodness is the purest form of existence in the material world. There are different kinds of planets with different kinds of living entities. Those who die in the mode of goodness are elevated to the planets where great sages and great devotees live.
Alright, we're just going to go through these three deaths by contamination, and then we'll discuss it after we go through all three, because all three of them are kind of blow your mind a bit. It's not the kind of things that you normally study. 15. Would you like to read 15?
Yeah. When one dies in the mode of passion, he takes birth amongst
among those engaged in spiritual activity. And when one dies in the mode of ignorance, he takes birth in the animal kingdom. Some people have the impression that when the soul reaches the platform of human life, it never goes down again. This is incorrect. According to this verse, if one develops the mode of ignorance after his death, he is degraded to an animal form of life. From there, one has to again elevate himself by an evolutionary process to come again to the human form of life. Therefore, those who are actually serious about human life should take to the mode of goodness and, in good association, transcend the modes and become situated in Krishna consciousness. This is the aim of human life. Otherwise, there is no guarantee that the human being will again attain to the human status.
Yes.
If I knew that, in the next life I'd come back as a dolphin, mm-hmm. which is an animal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, I think I'd rather be a dolphin than a human.
Why? If you can find it, why?
Well, it's sort of saying, like, you know, that, it's just saying that it's better to be human than an animal.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's saying.
Well, you have difficulty accepting that. Sort of, yeah.
Why?
Why do you think it's better to be an animal than a human?
I'm not saying it's better or worse.
Yeah. But why do you think it might be the same, more or less? Now let him talk. You get your chance.
No.
But no, why do you think it's better to be, or more or less the same thing, to be an animal or a human?
I just think there's no difference between them. According to this one, the mode of ignorance, just that he's degraded to an animal form of life. So what if he didn't develop the mode of ignorance and develop the mode of passion, then he'll come back as a human?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it's saying?
Mm-hmm.
So does that mean that say dolphins and whales are more ignorant than humans?
Can't you see that?
No.
Of course, human beings today don't act much different than animals, but that doesn't mean that ideally the human species is no better than animal species. Human beings have what? That's different.
More intelligent.
Right. But the problem is they're not doing what they should with their intelligence. Just like surfing. You're like partaking of fish activities when you surf. So therefore, at the time of death, if your consciousness is absorbed in surfing, then the laws of nature say, what do you need a human body? If you just want to imitate the fish, better to be a dolphin. You can jump. You see these pictures of those dolphins off the coast of Kaikoura with a big smile on their face. You see them? You can do that. Nature will give you that chance.
At least then I wouldn't drown.
Huh?
At least then we wouldn't drown.
Yeah. You lost me.
Come on with it. If you're a dolphin,
you'll drown.
You'll drown while you sit.
You know, just somebody comes along and kills you, even though you're supposed to be a protected species. Or nobody kills you, but you choke on an oil slick or something.
You wouldn't be able to read that back either then.
Right. In other words, the human intelligence is meant for having discussions like we're having now. When human intelligence is invested into all these other things, there's no difference between that and animal life.
When I see it, I see it in Krishna consciousness. You're alright.
We'll discuss that later. Srila Prabhupada, yeah, you're reading his translation in purport. When he first saw surfers in Hawaii, he said, you may call them surfers, but I call them sea sufferers. Because by their activities, they're risking taking birth as fish.
But wasn't one of Krishna's incarnations a fish? And it says in the Srimad Bhagavatam that if you worship the forms of Krishna,
okay,
it's the same thing.
But you don't worship the forms of Krishna by surfing.
But he said that he says some Krishna consciousness.
I don't understand the connection. We'll talk about this later too. I shouldn't be. I know it's considered a great offense to criticize Sorkin, right?
What is it? It's
not a great offense at all.
It's sick and Sorkin ignorant. What sort of motive is Sorkin in?
It's good for the body.
Passion. It's good for the mind. For the soul.
Mind. For the soul too, huh?
Mm-hmm.
How? What is the soul anyway?
Because you're at one with nature. You're at one with nature.
What is the soul? You say it's good for the soul. What's the soul?
It could be described as a mystical experience.
By who? By who?
Let me just say. Well, it depends on how you view it. And if you go on the circle, as you say, and you think, my God, this is just, this is, God's waves, God's earth. And I'm riding along with it.
But is that what you're supposed to be doing?
It depends what mode you're in. You could ride the waves in the mode of ignorance, smoking a joint. You could ride the waves in the mode of passion by showing off to the girls sitting on the...
People actually smoke marijuana while they're surfing?
Before yep. they go.
Thank you.
Or in the mode of fitness, just using it as physical fitness. Or transcendental.
No, that thing you said, just using it as physical fitness, that's motor passion.
Yeah. Transcendental, you can.
How?
You
know about transcendental?
You could be doing a Mahatma.
You could be saying God is surfing through me.
And you know who me is and who God is, right?
It could be described as a mystical experience, I think.
They talk a lot like this in Queensland, don't they? Byron Bay talk, right? This is Byron Bay talk. You ever been to Byron Bay?
Yeah, I'm not up to surfing, so...
Just one thing, though. For something to be a little tangent...
Someone in the mode of goodness, they don't waste their time in things that are not leading to enlightenment and purification.
Why are we here? Why are we here if we're not meant to be here? That's the
thing.
Why are we here on earth?
Uh-huh.
Why are we here on earth in bodies in the middle of nature? Like if we're not supposed to be here, we're supposed to, evolve into somewhere else. We're kind of...
You remind me of someone in prison. Why are we here if we're not meant to be in prison? I mean, why are we behind these bars if we're not meant to be here? I mean, we're here in the prison behind bars. That means we're meant to be here and evolving. And what would you say if someone told you that?
I can't get out.
You can get out. If you know how. But are you meant to be in prison? To be in prison?
Well, it looks like I am. Here I am.
No, is a prisoner meant to be there?
Yeah, yes.
Why?
Because he committed sins.
He broke the law. So, but is that his natural position to be in the prison?
By his nature, yeah.
No.
No.
Similarly, you're here in this world, in this nature, material nature, but you're not meant to be here. It's imprisonment.
Why did Krishna put us here?
Because you broke the law.
If someone said to me, you do wrong and evil, and you're going to come back the next life as a hell surfer, no, I'd go out and rob a bank.
We're what hands up?
I mean, I believe we're here for a purpose, and we have a purpose in life.
I know it's hard talking these kind of slogans here. They just kind of evaporate in the air. That's the purity of the place here. As soon as you say these kind of things, the popular lingo and jargon is just kind of like bubbles just disappears in the air. You say, oh no, forget it. Like these bubbles come out of your mouth and you see them for what they are, and you, hey, forget it, never mind. But when you're amongst your friends, you say, wow, you're really
heavy. You're really philosophical.
I do have a point to make, but
yeah. All right. Yes. Last point.
Oh, I was just going to ask you: are we here so that we can love God, can love Krishna, like so that? I mean, so that we have free will, so that He knows that the purity in our hearts. We're
here because we've misused our independence, just like a criminal is in jail because he's misused his independence. He could have chosen to follow the law. This is ideally speaking, because these days, I mean, whether they're the judges or the criminals, they're all for... anyway. The criminal, ideally speaking, is in jail because he misused his independence. He could have chosen to follow the law. He became a criminal. He got caught. He's in jail.
So that says that we were originally with Krishna.
Yes. Right. So we misused our independence. That's why pure spiritual beings are trapped in a world of matter trying to squeeze pleasure out of it. Whether by surfing or this thing or that. Mm-hmm. All right, I think that's enough for tonight. Remember these three contaminations: goodness, passion, and ignorance. Nature is not just passive and harmless. While we're going about our days, we are being affected by these influences. They are infecting us, and we'll take another body according to the accumulated infections we get from nature in this life. You cannot live in nature without becoming infected. Figure out what kind of infection you have and make progress, at least to the mode of goodness. Then things become clear, you can start to understand. And of course, the real solution is to transcend all the modes of nature and become Krishna conscious, which is beyond even material goodness.
So do you believe that you fully transcend the three modes?
It's not a question of what I believe or what you believe. We must take our knowledge from the source of all energies. Then you find out how the energy works. Krishna consciousness is not a belief system. You find the source of everything and get your knowledge from there. Otherwise, I could say this, you could say that. She could say this, you could say that. So what? You hear from Krishna, then you can understand. Thank you very much. We can talk more about this over dinner if you like. Another exciting chapter. Friday night is a lot. Tune in to the next episode. As the World Turns. Exciting, huh?
You want me to take the black seat off too?
No,
I just put it next to you.